Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on this Friday, January 31st, 2025, from San Antonio, Texas. We have a number of items to get through. There may be some callers a little later in the show, but let me get started first of all with an announcement from RBN for satellite listeners. Important announcement needed on air for satellite listeners who will hopefully hear this because they usually do not have the internet. Attention, RBN satellite listeners. RBN signal is migrating and changing frequencies on January 31st, and satellite receivers must rescan to collect the new signal. Call the RBN office at 1-800-724-2719 if you have questions. That again is 1-800-724-2719. RBN, thanks you. Mark Dankoff will cough through his cedar fever and then get on with some news stories here. My latest for VT Foreign Policy as a rather racy cartoon there that I got from Russian social media. Warning, says my latest for art for VT Foreign Policy. If you laugh at this anti-Semitic quote-unquote cartoon, Trump will arrest and deport your A double slash. And I went on to say in the subtitle, you're a great American if you support Israel for pulling off Deir Yassin, the murder of Count Bernadotte and James Forrestal, the Levant affair, the JFK assassination, the U.S. Liberty attack, the Pollard spy case, NUMEC, the Promis affair, 9/11, the war on terror, the Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking and blackmail ring, murdering over 47,000 Palestinians in Gaza, some 70 to 75% of whom are women and children, supporting a coming military attack on Iran, getting Zelensky covertly repatriated to Miami with all of your tax money. Laugh at this cartoon, however, and our Temple Mount first president will arrest and deport your A double slash. That's my latest for VT Foreign Policy. It's picked up, not quite 300 hits in the first 24 hours of posting. Send it along to your friends. Story number two, Gregor's Braun rocks. I hope I have not done injustice to his first name. He's that infamous Polish minister of parliament or member of parliament. He used his fire extinguisher a while back to kind of douse a Jewish menorah that was burning on a special Jewish day in the Polish parliament. Braun has now come forth with yet a new riposte with the Jewish Zionist lobby worldwide. He has interrupted a moment of silence for Holocaust victims at the EU parliament with a call to prayer for the quote-unquote victims of the Jewish genocide in Gaza. Braun also remarked that, quote, all victims are equal, but some are more equal than others. I say that Braun rocks. I've written a story on this, of course, for VT Foreign Policy. You can also follow the Russia Today post on your roadmap, which basically chronicles how Mr. Braun was forced to leave that particular session of the European Parliament. But nonetheless, as more people like Braun come forth, hopefully a few in this country over time, we can start getting to the bottom of some of the many crimes of Israel committed not simply abroad, but all the ones that I have chronicled for you in my latest for VT Foreign Policy that were committed against the people and the government of the United States. By the way, I have this on the roadmap toward the end of the roadmap, but let's mention the Kennedy assassination only because Philip Giraldi and Larry Johnson, both of our ex-CIA analysts who are all over international media all the time, are openly talking about Israel's reasons for being involved in the Kennedy assassination. For those of you who have already read Michael Collins Piper's Final Judgment, and who have listened to the late Michael Collins Piper's past shows on this Republic Broadcasting Network, you're very familiar with all of this, and all of a sudden Piper is being mainstreamed. Mark Dankoff is being mainstreamed. A few other people that have been with Piper in regard to what he says in Final Judgment are now being mainstreamed, as Philip Giraldi and Larry Johnson are talking about what Piper chronicled, lo and behold, a generation or more ago now. So leave that where it is. I'll get back to that story and read a little bit of what Larry Johnson has said on this to Sputnik. But nonetheless, just file that in the mental cabinet as we go on to the next story. Zelensky's synagogue of Satan and his persecution of the Russian Orthodox Church. I'll simply say this, folks. There is a 26-minute, 48-second video produced on Telegram by the New Rules Podcast. We have also attached that to the roadmap for you so that people who get into the roadmap as they are listening to this show, either live or after the fact in the archives, can take a look at that video straight from the roadmap. It's quite a video, folks, and it chronicles how Ukraine regularly bombs churches, abducts priests, and murders Orthodox Christians for their beliefs. New Rules Podcast spoke with Father Theophan, an Orthodox priest who was imprisoned and tortured by the Ukrainian secret police. Excuse me, folks, cedar fever attacks. So we go on. But take a look at that video. And take a look at that video in conjunction with what I have already posted for VT Foreign Policy in the past and for this network on Jamie Raskin, the Democrat Globo Homo Congressman from the 8th Congressional District in Maryland, who has publicly admitted, he has stated that this war against Putin's Russia using Ukraine as a surrogate and piling all these American weapons and money in there has everything to do with destroying Russia. Why? Raskin says it publicly. Because they support traditional values through the Russian Orthodox Church. If you don't like abortion on demand, if you don't like LGBTQ worldwide being imposed by NATO and the United States and the EU by force, if you don't like transgender surgery for minors without parental consent, then, of course, Mr. Raskin and his largely Zionist agenda is not only an enemy of Putin's Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church, they're your enemy and mine. And in this particular case, folks, let's support Putin's Russia. Let's support the Russian Orthodox Church when they stand for the truth, which they largely have been. And I've said it before on this network, as Russia is now kicking butts all along the contact line with Ukraine in the Donbass region, as Russia is now mopping up the Kursk region, their own region, mopping up things with these Ukrainian invaders, as Russia has been engaged in incredible airstrikes, Kinshaws, Zircons, Oreshniks, drones, Fab 500, 1,000, 3,000 kilo bombs, and all the rest of it. Boy, I tell you, it seems to me that Mr. Zelensky and his Zio cabal, both inside Ukraine and outside it, ought to consider throwing in the towel. You know, the only reason the homo, global homo elite has not thrown in the towel, that's because they'll lose about $12 trillion in natural resources that are no longer theirs to steal. They also, of course, will be totally exposed worldwide for what they have been doing in Ukraine in the interest of Zio Global Homo World Government that has nothing to do with affirming the real legitimate reasons why Putin went into the Donbass militarily in February of 2022. And it sure has nothing to do with the interests of the average Ukrainian who has lost his or her life or limbs or family members for absolutely nothing that involves the average Ukrainian in that country in terms of his or her interests. Yes, okay, this is where we are in this whole thing, folks. We have seen this sick, demonic scenario visited upon us time and time again. It's time to say no to NATO. It is time to say no to the global homo new world order. It is time to say no to the EU. Time to say no to these global homo neocons like Jamie Raskin, who got this country's money and got its weaponry into a situation where we have been a full partner in all of these war crimes. Mr. Trump, don't make the mistake of letting Mr. Johnson's war become Mr. Nixon's war. Steve Bannon has warned you, Mr. Trump, you must not allow any of these advisors of yours, including Kellogg, who has forgotten more about Russia and Ukraine than even I know, to dictate so-called American negotiating policy. There's only one negotiation that's involved here, or should be, for Mr. Trump to formally apologize for a government other than his own for being involved in these criminal activities, both in 2003 through 2005, in February of 2014, and certainly from February of 2022 onward. Get the money out. Get these bioweapons out. Get all of these NATO advisors out of that country. Get out and allow Russia to, in fact, enjoy the legitimate fruits of their victory, which is only increasing every minute or so. Ukraine is falling apart all along the contact line. I didn't post any stories on that today. There are simply too many to post. We can also talk, of course, about the airstrikes and everything else, but Zelensky's desperate acts by attacking civilian populations inside Russia with drones and doing the same thing in Donetsk, it's not going to work. And the only thing that is going to work is for the United States under Trump to get us out of this immoral, illegal, satanic agenda once and for all. Mr. Trump doesn't do that or starts talking out of both sides of his mouth in regard to Zelensky and supporting Ukraine and letting Ukraine join NATO in 10 years. That crap is not going to fly, folks, with me or with anyone else who can think, who might have considered voting for Mr. Trump in this last election. Get us out of there, Mr. Trump. Get the United States and our kids out of there. Get our money out of there. And let's have a new world order that emphasizes the sovereignty of nation states, that breaks up global homo completely, and where the United States can return to legitimate foreign relationships with Iran, with Russia, with China, with anybody else. Friendship with all, George Washington said, entangling alliances with none. I think George Washington would have flushed NATO down the toilet a very, very long time ago. Enough said. But take a look at that video again from New Rules Podcast, 26 minutes, 48 seconds on what the Jewish cabal that is running the Ukrainian war, both inside that country and outside it, is doing to the Russian Orthodox Church. It's not simply the rights of Russian Orthodox people and their faith that is being trampled on here. If you are a traditional Christian anywhere in the world, East or West, Protestant, Reformed, or Lutheran, or Roman Catholic, or any form of orthodoxy that you care to mention, the enemies of the Russian Orthodox Church are your enemies and mine. And we need to get rid of these people and to sack them once and for all. Those who are directly implicated in crimes, put them away or execute them, and get back to decency and human relationships. Again, friendship with all, entangling alliances with none. Have a strong foreign policy that is based on decency and humanity and the American Constitution and international law. Stop trying to police the world. Have a great national defense that defends America. America first, not Temple Mount first, Mr. Trump, not Zelensky and global homo first. Get to it, and get to it very, very quickly. By the way, speaking of some really bad signs, I'll jump ahead a little bit and simply say that, lo and behold, Mr. Trump is being visited, according to Philip Giraldi at the UNS Review, by Mr. Netanyahu on the 4th of February, Tuesday the 4th of February. That's just a handful of days away, folks. What are they going to talk about? Is this so-called Gaza ceasefire a fraud, as Mr. Giraldi seems to think it is? I happen to think it's a fraud as well. In this particular case, as we watch what transpires on the 4th of February, those of you who voted for Mr. Trump as America First and yet support Israel's aims in the Middle East and globally need to check your intellectual honesty and your emotional and spiritual honesty. We need to hold Mr. Trump to his word in regard to this entire situation globally that is bankrupting this country, bankrupting us financially, bankrupting us politically, bankrupting us morally. And I can think of no better example of this than what the United States has been supporting with the Zionist state since 1948 and realistically before. Again, get back to my VT foreign policy latest. There's a cartoon there you might find offensive, but it does get to the point. What's more offensive, that cartoon, which might inflame the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, that might inflame the Southern Poverty Law Center, that might inflame the LGBTQ crowd, that might inflame the Holocaust industry people and all the rest of it? Let's get down to brass tacks. You simply read the crimes that are listed there in the subtitle of that very brief post, and you'll understand that this is very, very serious business. We cannot afford to allow Mr. Trump to renege on what he said he would do. But when we look at these foreign policy advisors, the only one that appears to have some positives going for her is Tulsi Gabbard. The rest of these people, scary folks, especially Pete Hegseth and the Temple Mount crowd. I'll let you look at the roadmap to see what E. Michael Jones has said about this in Culture Wars, and, of course, what I have written for VT Foreign Policy based upon the Jones article at Culture Wars. Both of those links are available to you. So let's go on then. Is Trump cleansing Gaza? Will there be a coming war with Iran? I suspect that both of those, sadly, are going to prove to be the case. My interview with Reza Montazami, the foreign directorate of Iran, is reposted there again, where we discuss all of the possibilities, as we did a few weeks ago. We put that one up simply in between the Giraldi latest for the UNS review, and also Mike Whitney, who just a few days ago had a very fine post that I put up on your roadmap. It's entitled, "The Primary Cause of October 7th Was Donald Trump. Here's the proof." Read what Whitney says there. I'll let you make up your own mind on that. Been watching any confirmation hearings? Well, we've had Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. going to home plate here in the last day or two. I have put up some of the briefs in video links as well as videos on the roadmap itself where you can listen to 1 minute, 2 minutes, 2.5 minute sound bites, or 30 second sound bites, I should say, whatever you'd like. But it is clear that Tulsi Gabbard, in particular, with one exception, and I think she did that for tactical reasons alone, and I think that Edward Snowden believes the same thing, with the exception of something that she said in regard to backing off of her previous support for Mr. Snowden. And I think that was totally tactical thing that Snowden himself, by the way, recommended to her to ensure her confirmation, he said. But Gabbard slams the FBI and the intelligence agencies for abuse of power. And take a look at that link in that video. Gabbard calls out neocons for supporting al-Qaeda in Syria. Gabbard gives a brutally honest assessment of the Iraq war. And then, of course, we also put up the link on Snowden and Gabbard's remarks there. Democratic Senator Michael Bennett melts down, says Geopolitica, over Tulsi Gabbard's criticism of the NATO proxy war in Ukraine and her past support for Edward Snowden. Democrat Senator Mark Kelly accuses Tulsi Gabbard of repeating Iranian and Russian propaganda. Here's how she fired back at Kelly. Senator, every American deserves to know that people in our own government were providing support to our sworn enemy, al-Qaeda. She's right about that, but who stands behind that particular policy? It's Israel, folks. Israel first, Israel last. Our support for these Sunni Wahhabic extremist elements in Syria has everything to do with Benjamin Netanyahu and his vision of greater Israel. Look at what's happened since we have had the takeover of Syria by the HTS people, and you'll understand why this whole thing has been going on in earnest since 2011. Is the United States guilty of crimes in this circumstance? You bet they are. Just like the utilization of NATO in Libya and the extrajudicial assassination of Muammar Gaddafi was definitely a war crime. We start looking at the crimes of the United States in promoting this coup d'etat in Kiev in February of 2014 and all of the things that have happened in these last several years. These are serious criminal acts, folks. And someone needs to tell Mr. Trump that the Russians have not had a million casualties in Ukraine. They've had under 100,000. And I think we can go with the figure of Alistair Crookie, or Crook, at the Strategic Culture Foundation. He is far more accurate on these things than anyone speaking for the Trump administration. And we start looking at Ukrainian casualties. Folks, that's where we get into the figure of 1 million, 1.5 million. These are the various figures circulating in foreign media sources. And I don't think there's any question as we examine this that Zelensky and his global homo cabal and people like Jamie Raskin of the 8th Congressional District of Maryland, they're going to make sure that they fight this thing out to the last Ukrainian alive, even as Russia is being forced to destroy the infrastructure of that country. Mr. Zelensky made it illegal to negotiate with Mr. Putin, according to Ukrainian law. Mr. Zelensky is an unelected president at this point. Mr. Zelensky has outlawed his political opponents and opposition political parties at the same time that he has been involved in declaring martial law, much like our friend in South Korea, right? Declaring martial law, not standing for election, and doing everything that he can do to have his own countrymen destroyed at the same time that he's about the business of bringing synagogue of Satan persecution of the Russian Orthodox Church. This guy's a bum, folks. He's a criminal, and all the people who have been supporting him in ignorance can no longer claim ignorance if they're listening to shows like this one. And those who have been deliberately supporting this guy and continue to support his agenda, they're the criminals, and they tend to be the people in the power elite of the American political scene. These folks need to be held to account. And by account, I mean criminal trials, people that have been involved in the misappropriation of billions of dollars need to be held account. People directly involved in supporting the heinous activities of the Ukrainian intelligence services, including the Dugina assassination, these people are criminals, but so are those in the American government and in the EU and in NATO who support this kind of activity all the way. End of story. So let's see here. Let's go on then and look at some other things going on here today. I don't know if we have any callers right now. I'm going to go through the rest of my stories. My tech will alert me to the fact if we have any callers. I'm again away from my radio studio, which has basically been reestablished again. But I'm on the road today, getting ready to go to a funeral tomorrow. And so I am not at my usual location with my big computer screen in front of me. The Hegseth confirmation on Antichrist, we've mentioned that. We've mentioned Netanyahu visiting Trump on the 4th of February. Let's go down. Of course, we've covered a little bit of the Gabbard confirmation hearings. Let's take a look at the Kennedy confirmation hearings. Kennedy condemns life-altering decisions for minors, calling it unconscionable. He's absolutely right. And you know what I think? I think any judge who has declared it legal in the United States for minors to receive these gender-changing, gender-altering surgeries, even without parental consent, that these people belong in jail. And in this particular case, anyone supporting this activity does not simply belong in jail as being involved in the ultimate amount of child abuse imaginable. And that includes any surgeon in this country who has been performing these heinous acts up to this point. But these folks need to be checked out by a good psychologist and psychiatrist. And maybe a good theologian can try and figure out if these folks have any souls left. But Kennedy certainly was saying the right things in that hearing yesterday about the life-altering decisions for minors being unconscionable. He also had an exchange with Bernie Sanders that we have posted for all of you on the roadmap. He fired back at Sanders over Sanders' big pharma ties. Kennedy says, almost all the members of this panel, including yourself, Mr. Sanders, Senator Sanders, are accepting millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical industry and protecting their interests. This is what Kennedy emphasized yesterday in his Health and Human Services Secretary confirmation hearing. More power to you, Mr. Kennedy. Continue with what you're doing, certainly in regard to Big Pharma, certainly what you're doing in regard to this outrageous business of transgender surgery for minors. And I can't say that I would absolutely agree with Mr. Kennedy on every issue, but sadly enough, even though he's a Zionist, and I think that's a very sad thing, nonetheless, where he's right, he's right. And let's support him when he supports what we believe to be the correct agenda. Bishop Richard Williamson has passed away. Those of you who were at the American Free Press National Convention in Austin in 2013 will have listened to his presentation there. Many of you will have met him. Very interesting fellow. That was my one personal encounter with Bishop Williamson. And in all the years that followed, there would occasionally be a covert email or two, which would go back and forth, just three, four, five-word comments, somebody passing an article to somebody else, this sort of thing. But in this circumstance, of course, some days ago, he had a dreadful cerebral hemorrhage. He spent a few days in the state that one would be found in after having endured such a horrific event, going to his own unofficial site on Telegram, and that's how I was following his medical care a little bit, as that was being posted for people who were subscribed there. It sounds like he was getting very good end-of-life care. He has now gone to be with the Lord, and of course, he leaves a very, very interesting legacy. Kevin Barrett has an article about Bishop Williamson, where the two of them had a very good conversation quite some time ago on the UNCE Review. I posted that one for you. The Occidental Observer had a post on Bishop Williamson, which I put up on the roadmap. And then, of course, Mike Jones at Culture Wars had done some work with Bishop Williamson. The link to that is also available through your roadmap. But suffice it to say, whatever you think of Williamson, he stood by what he believed until the very end, and I thought it very interesting that the Society of St. Pius X, the Bishop Lefebvre's group, which broke with the mainstream Roman Catholic Church over the latter support for the Second Vatican Council, that in the end that Bishop Williamson, who was appointed one of the SSPX's bishops, later lost that position because of his ongoing statements and presentations on Jewish global interests and on this Holocaust controversy. So he continued as a so-called, and I'm hopefully doing correct justice to the description of himself on his own unofficial site. He was acting as an independent Catholic bishop to the very end of his life. And I'm sure that there continue to be many people worldwide within the Catholic faith who continue to follow him very, very closely. But whatever you think of Williamson, one way or the other, regard to his theological views and his political views, he was a guy who stood his ground up to the very end. And I would imagine that would resonate with guys like Gregorz Braun in Poland in regard to finally saying, hey, I've had enough of this. I'm going to stand up against this propagandistic nonsense and all of this tyranny and all of this censorship, even if it costs me. That's the spirit we need to have, folks, as we move forward in this country toward a future that is very uncertain as we wait to see what the next 4 years bring, if we're not in the middle of an international war before then. Enough said. DeepSeek. If you've been following the so-called Chinese artificial intelligence application, I got a call a few days ago from someone in San Antonio, evangelical Christian physician, who said, hey, you ought to take a look at this, Mark. Tell me what you think of it. So I got onto DeepSeek. I was one of the people that managed to get on there. And the interesting thing, aside from the whole way in which this Chinese artificial intelligence application really impacted the American high-tech stock market in the days that followed, NVIDIA had a one-day historic loss on Wall Street as a result of this revelation of the existence of this Chinese artificial intelligence application. But when I got on there, I started seeking out information on myself. I published at least a little bit of this online when I was having a conversation with the traditional Catholic Trad Cat Night host, Eric Ajewski, a few days ago. Boy, I tell you, the stuff that came out on this DeepSeek could have been written by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and they proceeded to list all of these things that characterize me, including, they didn't use the word sinister, but they might as well have used the word sinister to talk about my past appearances, especially in Iranian media, Iranian national media. Fascinatingly enough, the DeepSeek information proceeded to talk about how the lack of influence that I have had in terms of the promotion of my views, at the same time that the dossier on me is quite lengthy, and at the same time that DeepSeek acknowledges that my views have brought into play renewed tensions within the American foreign policy establishment, renewed tensions in regard to what the United States should and should not be promoting internationally. So for a guy who's never had any real influence, they had quite a lengthy dossier on me at the Chinese DeepSeek, along with a rather comical series of contradictions that again would suggest that the Daily Beast, our old Zio friends at the Daily Beast, they were mentioned in this DeepSeek intelligence release on me. The Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the LGBTQ crowd, all of those groups could have corroborated in what does appear there with DeepSeek. But when I searched out such things as the Jewish role in pornography, you ought to see the politically correct stuff that came out of DeepSeek with that. And when I had it search JFK and the JFK assassination in Israel, they suddenly said that they were busy, couldn't search that topic presently, would have to get back to me. So that gives you something of an idea as to what is there. But aside from the dangers of artificial intelligence in regard to continuing some of the same perfidious stuff that's out there on people that the global Zionist establishment doesn't like, the other thing that comes into play here is a piece that's on Lou Rockwell this week. It comes to us from John Initial Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute in regard to the fact that the existence of these AI applications is an imminent threat to your liberties and to mine. Now, in this particular case, I'll let you read the article, but I think that's absolutely correct, that we are looking at a brave new world in regard to artificial intelligence, and I don't think that there are too many people that understand just how imminent these dangers are to your life and liberty and happiness and mine than is posted certainly in this Rutherford Institute article. Scary business. We'll keep an eye on it in the days that are ahead. Alexander Dugin, by the way, had an interview that I think I've posted on your roadmap talking about Elon Musk and Donald Trump as opposed to George Soros. George Soros, of course, as Dugin might put it, George Soros epitomizes globo homo, doesn't he? Musk and Trump support what Mr. Dugin would term imperial civilization states. Imperial civilization states. Now, get into that interview, if you will. It is in English. You can follow what's being said. What is an imperial civilization state? Well, I'm not sure that that exactly represents the old American Republic. I think it indicates that there's something else afoot there. But when we talk about imperial civilization states with police state surveillance capabilities and with artificial intelligence, technological development, and that are involved in an international global fight over whether or not their particular currency is going to continue to be the reserve currency of the world, an imperial civilization state that somehow continues to be linked in its foreign policy with Netanyahu and Israel, an imperial civilization state that, as near as I can tell, seems to be quite happy with continuing with Mr. Netanyahu, as well as what might appear to be a level of competition with China that goes beyond the political and the economic and the diplomatic to the military. So this business of an imperial civilization state, Mr. Dugin seems to believe that that certainly is preferable to George Soros and Globo Homo. But how preferable is it in terms of the power of the state vis-a-vis that of the individual? And what constitutional safeguards are there for you and me when it comes to a so-called imperial civilization state? These are questions that have to be asked, and I think, once again, we're back to the Rutherford article, and do what you will with that in regard to reading that and contemplating what could be the downside of what is purportedly an America First presidency that, in my view, cannot truly be an America First presidency as long as it continues with certain political links that have characterized Mr. Trump all of his political life as well as all of his business life, and that, of course, especially includes the Zionist entity. So, again, we're back to Pete Hegseth of Temple Mount establishment fame, being involved now as the Secretary of Defense of the United States. That's one example among four or five in particular that give me great pause for concern as to what the future, in fact, does hold, although the good news is that we do have the sovereignty of God over all these matters. And I'm writing an article right now, just started writing it, on Daniel chapter 7, dealing with this whole business of the sovereignty of God in the Ancient of Days, vis-a-vis that of temporary world empires and temporary world empire chiefs. God appoints the kings and the empires. He knows about how long they're going to last in terms of the season or two that he gives them. But ultimately, they are not the power. They are not the entity. They are not the controller of all things, both temporal and eternal, that God is. And as I'm starting to get into this, starting to get back into some original language research in regard to what I want to say about the agitation that Daniel felt at the end of chapter 10, or I'm sorry, at the end of chapter 7, when considering what it was he had been shown. If you're out there listening to this and you've had your own feelings occasionally of being troubled, being agitated, being concerned, feelings of oppression, being very uncertain about what the future holds, you and I have someone far more significant than we in terms of being a saint of God, and that is the prophet Daniel, whose tomb, by the way, is in Susa or Shushan, in Khuzestan province in Iran. Daniel would be able to identify with you or me and our feelings because with whatever it was that he saw at a level that we could only imagine, he struggled as well with what he was doing some 2,500, 2,600 years ago in the midst of what is now happening. Got a few calls? Well, let's take one. Let's get the first batter up there.
Andy in Texas.
Andy, go ahead. You're on with Mark Dankoff.
Oh, hey, Mark, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, I know. Isn't it special that, he can find $500 billion to do this Stargate stuff, but he can't find any kind of billions of dollars to fix our infrastructure? These guys are going totally forward for their futuristic world that they want to live in, and they're leaving us all behind. We're just dumb people living our lives buying eggs and toast and bacon and stuff and trying to live and stuff. And this guy's got some sort of glorious idea about Stargate. And what is Stargate? What does Stargate actually look like? It looks just like the Chinese model. All these, now they'll be able to access every camera in the world, and they'll be able to put your picture on a screen, and they'll be able to identify you just from your picture. And how did they do that? Because they collected so much of your information throughout all of these Facebooks, these exes, and all this stuff. They know who you are. They'll be able to identify you. And it's going to be exactly just like Chinese, where these people know where you're at and what you're doing, what you're thinking, and then they'll be able to avoid you. We're going into this credit score. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, this is absolutely crazy, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is, Andy, and I think you're on the right track. I mean, going back to the inauguration, when you see all these high-tech moguls and Silicon Valley types who were there and who had ringside seats for it, it definitely underscores, I think, what it is you're talking about. And it brings me back to when Trump was first elected. And you go back to 2016. My mother was still living at that time. She's now buried at Arlington National Cemetery with my dad. But she and I were watching the Republican National Convention. And there was a primetime spot given to Peter Thiel of Palantir Technologies. Now, this guy is very heavily embedded with Israeli intelligence. This is a known fact. And at the same time, Mr. Trump, who supposedly is ushering in a new moral and Christian era to the United States, nonetheless was giving prime time to an individual who was a symbol of the legitimacy of homosexuality in the Republican Party. And I said to my mother then, and you think back to the fact, Mom, that we had an opportunity to see Pat Buchanan's speech, his so-called culture wars speech, in 1992 in Houston. We were there. And listening to what Buchanan had to say that night, where he was not only truly America first, and he was not a Zionist, that's why he didn't get the nomination in either 92 or especially 96. But Buchanan was saying things about the revival of a moral traditionalism in America that certainly, when you fast forward it to 2016, 24 years later, just slightly under a quarter of a century later, Mr. Trump was even then putting out a completely different set of symbolic messages as to what a Trump administration would look like. And now, of course, here we are in 2024, 2025 now, and Trump is sending out all the wrong messages in regard to continuing to support Israel and what they're doing. It would appear that the United States and Israel are up to something in regard to a preemptive attack on Iran. And as you point out, Andy, you've got a situation where all of this talk about artificial intelligence and high technology and bringing up to the United States up to where it supposedly should be in regard to the Chinese advances and all of this, it very much begins to sound like the kinds of things that we can read about in the 13th chapter of Revelation in regard to the mark of the beast and to surveillance of all of those, especially who do not take the mark of the beast. And so I tend to, yeah.
Yeah, no, can we look at this? So let's look at Trump's, his rise to power. So they gave him the first experience of 4 years and whatnot. What did they do? They did nothing but just shoot him down, turn him into an idiot. Made us all kind of feel sorry for him. Made us all feel sorry for him. And, you know, he couldn't get anything done and whatnot. And then all of a sudden he runs again for a second term, and then, boom, they just shoot him down. And they steal it from him. They make it very blatant that they stole it from him and whatnot. So now we've got all of this, poor Trump and this and that and the other. And so now here comes 2024. And now look at Donald Trump. He's standing much more prouder than he was in 2016 when he got elected. He's standing much prouder. And in fact, he's actually wielding more power at this particular point. So we've got, this is a CIA operative here. This is what they're doing. They gave us somebody who was a clown. They all had our interests and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, another 4 years goes by, and now he is. And look what he's doing. He's doing everything to make us feel gratitude towards what he's doing. And you know, he also said that, you know, you won't hate Christians. Get out there and vote. Vote Christians. Do it. You won't ever have to do it again. I'm not a Christian, but vote. Just vote, and why not? So are we actually at the end of this? I mean, is his last 4 years, is his last 4 years the transformation of America to where we're not even, we're going to be in the New World Order? Is there going to be Klaus Schwab at the top of this thing or whatnot? We don't really know what's going on right now, but everybody is mesmerized by this Trump phenomenon, and it really is a Trump phenomenon. You either hate him or you love him, and a lot of people in the world today, he's a populist. They love him. They think that he's got the gears. He's going to run this show. He's going to make it right. Look what he's doing. Oh my God, he freed the J6 people. Okay, was he part of them being arrested in the first place so this could happen? We don't know whether or not this is actually true. So the thing is that we're sitting here in this and we actually think that we have a grip on what's going on in our world. And it's not real. None of this is real. None of this is real. We're being led down a path of destruction. He gave us warp speed. Yeah, I mean, the things that he did do, okay, great. Let's give him some kudos for some. But warp speed? Wait a minute. He's still proud of the fact that he gave us the shot. And he'll go on doing that. And he also had a meeting with Bill Gates for 3 hours, and they talked about more vaccines. And Bill Gates said that it was a phenomenal message that he had with these guys. We've got to be on our tippy toes here. This is not real. I mean, it's real because these guys hold the value of all the information that's coming out and or the all the laws and stuff that are coming out and stuff. But this whole why would you spend $500 billion for Stargate, which is nothing but a surveillance thing or whatnot, but you wouldn't put $500 billion into the infrastructure of this country, which is falling apart? I mean, I give back. I yield.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's all well taken, Andy. And I have... I'll simply say this, that I share the same reservations that you do. I've said that from the beginning. And when we look at Trump, with the exception of Gabbard, who does seem to have some merits as as hopefully a future director of national intelligence, he has said some good things. But with the exception of Gabbard, you look at these other foreign policy picks, Hegseth in particular, Rubio secondarily, a series of other pro-Zionist types that looked like they were taken out of the Republican-Jewish coalition phone directory. And once again, we have to emphasize, this is not Robert Taft or Pat Buchanan or Charles Lindbergh that we're talking about here. This is someone who uses that kind of verbiage and uses it very effectively on occasion. This is someone who's scoring a lot of points, and perhaps deservedly so, on the immigration issue, but on many of the larger empire issues, including war for empire and war for the Zionist state. There are a lot of ominous signs that have been coming out of this administration with these appointments, and to me, that may well prove to be the focal point of how the whole thing comes disattached. But thank you for calling.
Hey, folks, on the last note,
yes, go
most
ahead.
Of the people that he's appointed have been associated with.
Yes. Well, God bless you, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Okay. Let me take another one. I wanted to say something in the last couple of minutes of the show about Larry Johnson and Philip Giraldi, what they have been saying, especially Johnson, on the issue of JFK and the JFK's assassination and Israel. But let's take another caller. You're up. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, Benny, go ahead. You're on with Mark Gankoff. Go ahead.
Yeah. Andy, I want to follow up on what Andy said. We're seeing the... We had Larry Ellison of Oracle talk about the beauty of AI is that it will allow for mass surveillance and the prevention of anti-Semitism. I wonder if you saw that. And Trump signed this initiative looking to combat anti-Semitism, at least initially, supposedly targeting foreign students on American soil, protesting nonviolently the Gazan genocide. And,
yes.
But this is written so broadly that it could apply to American citizens. And Nick Fuentes,
exactly.
Devin Stack at Black Pill talked about it, the people at Red Ice. This needs to get out. And, I'll let you respond, and I'll just say one more thing.
Sure. Well, you're exactly right. As a matter of fact, what you're talking about here is, Benny, exactly the reason why I had this, you could argue, somewhat outrageous post on VT Foreign Policy, the latest one, but it was there for a reason. And it basically is getting at the heart of the fact that everything that you have just said is provably true. And when you start looking at some of this so-called anti-Semitic hate speech legislation that has been bandied about in different states, it's been bandied about with the National Congress, that Trump has indicated he's basically in support of. Now we've seen these deportations of foreign students involved in peaceable, as far as I know, peaceable demonstrations against the genocide going on in Gaza. And like Gregor Braun, I'll use the word genocide. That's exactly what it is. That this sort of thing should result in people's deportations without a hearing. And even more ominously, as you point out, you start looking at the wording of some of this stuff and the way it's being enforced. It doesn't take a real genius to figure out that the next step up in terms of where this whole thing is going to be the disenfranchisement of American citizens in terms of their First and Fourth Amendment rights. And that this may well result in circumstances where people are going to be prosecuted, potentially incarcerated, potentially looking to leave this country because it is no longer an America governed by the legitimate rule of law and the American Constitution. I'm very fearful of all of this. There's no question about it. So this, it is what it is, and I just am afraid that this conversation on the 4th of February that Dr. Giraldi reports through the UNTS review, it's going to take place between Trump and Netanyahu. Really wish I could be in a corner someplace to listen to what these guys are talking about, because I have a feeling that they're shortly going to come out with something that's going to be playing around with people's lives abroad, and it's going to be playing around with your life and mine. But we'll have to wait and see.
One last thing. Andy's concerned about the Chinese, that we're going to be like the Chinese. And my answer is that we could only wish that we could be like the Chinese. The Jews in Silicon Valley are promoting, they're using technology like cell phones to promote degeneracy through pornography,
yes,
gambling apps, the social media things which are highly addictive for women, the dating apps which promote promiscuity. The Chinese model, they're using their AI and their technology to promote virtue among their citizens. Call grandma, get social credit points. Take a college course online, get social credit points. Listen to a classic literature, get social credit points. We're doing the exact opposite. We're promoting degeneracy to young people, and it's horrible.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and that is a part of the Zionist globalist master plan. There's no question about it. I think the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians understand this, which is why it's not simply a question of there being our competitors in terms of these economic battles and sanctions and BRICS and the American dollars, the reserve currency, the world, all these other things, and maybe the horrific consequences of an outbreak of a military conflict that should not and does not need to happen. But cultural degeneracy, and you've identified it, Benny, is clearly a major, major thing with the folks promoting the New World Order. And Jamie Raskin said it, the Democrat congressman from the 8th Congressional District in Maryland, openly talked about the need to destroy Putin's Russia and the Russian Orthodox Church because of their promotion of traditional Christian values. And he went on to identify some of the most obvious ones. This is where it is. Well, I'm going to have to wrap it up today. It's good that we've had some good callers, some good conversation. I would point all of you who are looking at the roadmap to look at what we have posted on what Larry Johnson has said, Larry Johnson of Sonar 21, what he has said to Sputnik in regard to the role of Israel, why Israel would have been involved, and in my judgment at least, was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It's a very lengthy post in regard to Larry's comments. Take a look at that, folks. You'll begin to understand the dangers of these other things that we've been talking about this afternoon. And God bless you all, and I will see you 1 week from today, God willing. Take care.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.